in the last days, you know, God's going to pour out a spirit. It says it was prophesied by a prophet named Joel. And then in the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 2, around verse 17 or so, that it says, and it's reiterated what the prophet once said, and it was prophesied in the last days. God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, men and women, and you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles, and things are going to take place. And as we see a lot of things happening that were prophesied in the Bible in the last days, and we're seeing that, just turn on the news, and we're seeing there's a lot of stuff. I want to remind you, it's not doom and gloom. It's an opportunity that God is going to pour out his spirit in the last days, and I believe there's going to be a great revival of souls that are going to come to God, maybe before the rapture takes place. So pray for that. When you see things bad happen, you remind CNN, ABC, NBC, whoever, you remind them, hey, keep it going, because I know the more that this happens and the more that you say, the more the Spirit of God is going to pour out in these last days, and we're going to see something miraculous happen. Do not give up, remnant. Do not give up. These are good days to live in. They're hard days, but never has there been a day since sin that there's been an easy one, right? So don't get discouraged, be encouraged. God has this, and he has you, and he has your situation. Amen? Amen? Amen. I just want to prophesy for a moment. What is prophesying? What is prophecy? It's speaking to things as if they should be, maybe not as they are now. It's edifying, building up, and encouraging. It's speaking God's truth and not just your reality. It's speaking life. God created all things in 6 days out of his breath, and he calls forth that his people also speak life out of their breath. And sometimes you just need to speak to your situation, and maybe you even need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I am beautiful. I am handsome. I am God's child. I am going through these things, but I know I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Just speak to it sometimes. You talk enough mess in your life all the time. You talk enough junk in your life. It's about time to speak life into it. And maybe you're in that situation because you haven't spoke anything other than death. And maybe you need to speak some life into your life. Amen? Hallelujah. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. Hallelujah. Who is this guy that is yelling? First off, thank you, Pastor Mark. Excellent job doing the intro. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I want to thank you for coming and joining us online or in person. We'd love to see your faces. It's great to be here in the house of God and worshiping him together as one. God says in his word, do not forsake the fellowship of believers. Now, y'all have opinions on what that looks like. Everybody in person says, well, that's in person. Everybody online says it also applies for online. So don't get mad about it. As long as we're together, worshiping together, that's amazing. Did you know you're joining millions upon millions of people all over the world today worshiping God, and you're not in person? But the church is still meeting. Amen? So I'm glad that you're here today, and I love seeing your face. I'd rather you be here than online, but if you're online, we're glad that you're joining us well. And it's cool that you can travel, and you can go on vacation. Just talking about this last time. You can go all over, and you can still join church, right? Hey, I'm going to take an hour and a half from this beach. Maybe I'm going to have Wi-Fi reach, and wherever I'm at, or this lake, or camping, and I'm going to pull up, and I'm joining church today. Isn't that cool? There's a lot of people doing that today, so thank you for joining us, but I'm just glad to be in the house of God worshiping the King of Kings. Amen? Amen? He's the King. He's the King. Last week was great. We had a great week. Independence Day. 245 years of our American freedom. Praise God. We had an awesome barbecue catered by Hy-Vee, which was wonderful. And it was great, too. We could go in, and my wife and I were able to go in, and we talked to a few people. I talked to a manager and some other people, and it was just good. And we're inviting them. Hey, you come on out. And then one lady somebody messed up our order when we went to eat there one day, and the lady that helped and gave us our money back, which was great because we were all eating, still waiting on my wife's food, and it never came, and it was like, hey, what's going on? I'm so sorry, got lost, whatever. They did that. The same lady that helped was the same main lady that served our food, and she's like, oh, I remember you, right? So that was cool. It's good to see her again, and it's just good to rub shoulders with our community and tell them about Jesus. And so last week, we didn't only have a barbecue celebration and a lot of money made in the dunk tank, but we also had a great service in here before we went out, and we learned about honoring our memorials. Amen? Well, this is the second week of our current July series called Divided States of America. This sermon series is dedicated to presenting America's forgotten history and heroes, with an emphasis on moral, religious, and constitutional foundation on which America was built, a foundation which in recent years has been seriously attacked and undermined. Divided States of America, I pray, reminds us of our roots and honors our God again. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a Pentecostal amen?
Amen?
Amen. Come on now. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I almost said something. Okay, moving on. Man, people could be in this head. They'd be like, get me out of here. It's crazy in here. All right. See, many people in recent years have asked this question. What happened to the America I once knew? What happened to this America that I once knew? Many Americans, Christian Americans specifically, are troubled by the moral corruption, the political chaos, and the division that is going on in our country right now. Many have asked, how did we get here as a nation? If you're older than 50 years old, you're definitely asking that, because that's not where you grew up. It's not what you remember. Where we once were founded on God and godly principles, where morals were upheld and sin was unacceptable, and fighting for the weak and the underprivileged was an honor and an honorable thing in our worlds, where men had manners and women acted like ladies, where we stood for our flag and we appreciated our military, where we supported Israel, God's nation, and where we were truly proud to be an American. Let me tell you something, church. When it comes to generations, past, present, or the future, what is taught is learned. And what is learned is practiced. And what is practiced becomes our foundation, where we build everything. You want me to say that again? When it comes to generations, past, present, and future, great time to take notes, church. I know y'all can watch it back later, but it's a good time to take notes. This is truth. What is taught is learned. And what is learned is practiced. And what is practiced becomes our foundation. And that's where all things are built from. So whether we realize it or not, whom we spend time with and whom we learn from will determine who we become and what we believe. Now, I was a youth pastor 3 times. There is nothing more definite, right? There is nothing more definite. Miss Katie's not here right now, but that who you hang out with, your peers, who you call friends, what you watch now on your phone and what you do will determine where you are going to go. Oftentimes we say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your fears, right? And so that doesn't only apply to teenagers. Been there, done that 3 times. It applies to all people. It applies to all people, always has and always will. Who you hang out with and who you learn from will determine who you will become and what you believe. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. See that? Like, man, I know a fool. That fool acting a fool. Quit hanging out with him. Quit learning from him. How about 1 Corinthians 15:33? Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. It is a lot easier to be pulled down than it is to pull other people up. That's why we need one another as Christians. You can pull people up easier when you got other people behind you helping people pull up, but it's real easy to fall down by people pulling you down. See, our peers and our education develops who we are and what we believe. Now, I wonder, church, this morning if we really understand how important education really is. Education instills in students an understanding of what is important, what is valuable, what is good and what is bad, and what there is to love. Education is designed to prepare students for life. Why? Because everyone asks this question. And if you've asked this question, I want you to say amen at the end of this. What is life all about? You ever ask that question? If you have, say amen. What is life all about? Now, everybody should have said amen because y'all said it at one point or another. I don't care how young you were or how old you are, and you might even be saying it now. What is this life all about? What is this all about? So what is the purpose of education? Education helps people become better citizens. We need that, amen? Get a better paying job. Show students the difference between good and bad. Education shows us the importance of hard work and at the same time helps us grow and develop. Through strong education, we're able to shape a better society to live in by knowing and respecting our rights, the laws and regulations of our communities. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. Education is about soul formation, not just information. And that formation builds a culture. Education is about soul formation, not just information. And this formation builds a culture. So what is the role of the church in education? Many people have many opinions. Education deals with people and their full development. If you agree with that, say amen. And the church, God's people, have a responsibility to help in this full development by being directly involved or you need to be involved indirectly or directly with people's education. We have a responsibility as God's children to be informally or formally involved in education. The church helps educate people with godly knowledge, with its values and its insights in developing someone. What, right now, where are our children? Nobody knows? That's a problem. Your kids might be in the parking lot keying cars. Y'all better go get them if you know where your kids are. Where are our children right now that you brought to church? Where are they at? Downstairs at what? Children's church. Praise God for children's church. Some of y'all need to volunteer, by the way. They need leaders. On Wednesday night, where do our youth go? On that side, youth church. And we have Bible studies. There's so many avenues that students, the church, gets involved with in education and building up and rearing our children in the Lord. There's lots of opportunities, and there's lots of things to do. Although the Bible does not use the word or the term Christian education, the Bible does speak about a moral and spiritual instruction of believers quite often about this subject. The Bible places a high value upon knowledge, both of God and his works. How about Hosea 4:6? It's a good one. My people are destroyed. Church, say destroyed. For lack of knowledge. Now listen, read the rest. What kind of knowledge? Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Let that simmer. How about James 1, 5 and 6? If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. And he will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Education is primarily about what we are trained to love, not just what we're taught to know. Almost 300 years ago. Almost 300 years ago, the teaching in Christian homes, in churches, and in schools trained up leaders who abolished slavery, who challenged tyranny, built a new form of government, and awakened millions to the truth of Jesus Christ in the Great Awakening. Lives as a whole were marked by acknowledgement of God as the creator and the sustainer of the entire universe. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says this: Christ is the visual image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. What changed? What changed? The retreat of Christian ideals in our nation is the intentional result of a group called the Progressives. Yeah, I'm gonna preach today. I'm gonna teach today, actually. Near the end, I'm gonna teach with passion, so that might be like in the middle of preaching and teaching. Like I've said before, what is the difference between preaching and teaching? Yelling. I really don't know the difference, right? And so I'm more of a preacher because I get all fired up and I get a little bit, woo, right? It's like, ha, right? Just, every once in a while, it's like, okay, he moved from teaching to preaching because he got real loud. Okay. But hear me today. I'm gonna teach with a preacher's heart. The retreat of Christian ideals in our nation is the intentional result of a group called the Progressives. Near the end of the 19th century, if you don't know what that means in the 1800s. Gotcha. The Progressives realized that there's this ancient Greek concept called a paideia. This is a Greek word that we don't have an exact English translation for it, but what is a paideia? A paideia is the key to cultural influence. A paideia is the rearing and the education of individuals. So the Progressives wanted to change American culture. Not just where it needed improvement. America can continue to improve. We always should. Just as much as you should always improve yourself as well. But the Progressives didn't want to just improve. They wanted to change everything at the very core. The Progressives knew that to reform, they must also remove the existing model of education, which was classical Christian education. Classical Christian education's objective was to shape the virtues, sharpen the reason, and enlighten the intellect of students so that these things would be in line with God's will, not in line with man's will. Classical Christian education, or a paideia, was the way to rear and educate the generations to come in the Western world. Now, you might read in your history books and stuff, and a lot of the Eastern religions and the Eastern countries, they don't like the Western world. It's completely different than them. Why is that? Because it's completely founded on the Bible. The Western world, that's how it was founded. Until the 20th century, nearly all schools, church say all, nearly the 20th century, the 1900s, nearly all schools in America, including colleges, were classical Christian, designed to cultivate a Christian paideia. Now, paideia is more than a worldview. It goes deeper than just a worldview. It's about the cultivation of virtues, the high appreciation of truth, goodness, beauty, and love. Basically, it's the whole essence of who someone is. It's the entire soul and mind of that person. It is what's instilled in the souls of all people, and a paideia is the key to cultural influence. Anybody know who John Dewey was? Raise your hand. John Dewey. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 out of 150, 200, I don't even know how many people are in here. Well, I'm glad that you don't know, because I'm about to teach you. John Dewey, who was he? He was an American philosopher, a psychologist, and an education reformer in the 19th and 20th century. And he said this quote, "I believe the education is the fundamental method of social progress and reform," end quote. Basically what he's saying is education is the way to change everything. John Dewey was a leading progressive and is now recognized as the father of modern American education. Thanks to John Dewey, if you were in public schools, he is the father of the education you grew up in. John Dewey ushered in changes beginning in about 1914, and these changes now dominate nearly every school in America. He was motivated to remake America's schools in the progressive image. If progressives could control education, they could control the nation's culture. And if the progressives can control education, they would also control the majority of the nation's values. Between 1905 and 1945, so for 40 years, the progressives took control of the American school system and intentionally remade it to meet their goals. And what did they do? They replaced classical Christian education with progressive education and their educational philosophies that public school systems now accept as truth. This is not truth anymore. This is truth. When the progressives began work in 1905, they had a problem. The Christian paideia was in the way of their new educational system. So progressives worked hard to remove Christian ideas, right? Oop. And purposes from the classroom. They had a plan. And it took a major turn in their favor about 60 years later in 1962 and 1963. Today, this takeover is so complete that it's assumed. We no longer even know the term paideia, let alone the nature of a Christian paideia in our children. See, while Christians championed other causes, progressives tirelessly and quietly worked to reform children. And they have controlled the American education system ever since. Do you remember what I said before? When it comes to generations past, present, and future, what is taught is learned, and what is learned is practiced, and what is practiced is our foundation. And everything's built from there. So here we are, church. Since the Supreme Court decision in 1962 to remove prayer and God from public schools, there's been a massive shift in our nation. Prayerless education is godless education. Just as much as prayerless church is godless church. What does it do? It creates a godless society, and we lose our hope and our morality in God and things of God. Recent studies show since prayer was banned in 1962. All right, stat nerds, join me. I'm about to have some fun because I love stats too. I love just information, like just fill my head full of like crazy stuff. That's cool. But this is very important stuff. Listen to this. I did a lot of research this week and I got a lot of cool stuff to tell you right here in this section. Recent studies show, and somebody helped me with that as well. Some of you text me every day with a lot of information, which is awesome, and I appreciate it. Since prayer was banned in 1962, over 25 million more man years of incarceration were caused in America. 25 million more man years were caused. Jail and prison inmates went from thousands in the 60s and 70s in the United States to multiple millions in the late 90s and the early 2000s. Nationwide, test scores in the United States show they plummeted in the 80s and 90s. That was me. I helped bring it down. Hallelujah. Y'all welcome. I'm part of the stats. Nationwide test scores in the United States, they showed a plummeting in the 80s and 90s as the decline actually started a couple years after prayer was banned by the Supreme Court in the early 60s. So it was like this, whoop, boop, 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 get rid of prayer and God, starts declining, and then all of a sudden, boom, I mean, it just bottomed out. You don't believe me? Look it up. How about this? Since 1963, murder rates have tripled. Violent crimes have gone up 544%. Divorce rates have doubled. Unwed birth rates from 10-year-olds to 14-year-olds have gone up 553%. Sexually transmitted diseases and their rates from 15-year-olds to 19-year-olds is up 226%. And here's one, fatherless households. In 1963, it had 6%. Today, it's 40%. Here's the top five complaints for teachers from 1940 to 1962. Top five complaints. Talking. And if I would have lived back then, I would have been in trouble all the time. You know, God is good. What does he do with a kid that can't shut his mouth? He makes him a preacher. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Right? Not my plan, but his. But he gave me the mouth. Hallelujah. I just need to refine my mouth to the Lord. So here's the top five complaints, 1940, 1962. Talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls. Slow down! Show me your hall pass! Right? That kind of stuff. And then being out of turn in line. Now, you guys, this always blows me away because now my son's saying, I'm like, what? See, on the West Coast, sister, what do they say? If you get in somebody's way and in line, you're cutting. You just cut in line. Y'all say budge. I was like, I didn't touch anybody. I didn't budge nobody. I don't know you guys. I pray for you guys often. No, people are budging or cutting in line. That's a big deal from 1940, 1962. Since 1963 to present, here's the top five. There's multiple, but I picked top five that this study gave. Rape, robbery, assault, burglary, and arson. That's the top five. Teachers are afraid that these things happen in schools now. I mean, how many shootings have we seen in our lifetime? Did you see them back in 1962 or before? They had guns. I know I'm going to step on some toes right here. And guns must be the problem, right? Okay, I know some of y'all that I messed you up a little bit. Just so you know, you have a free country because people fought with guns. Just so you know. Okay, moving on. I'm moving on. It's true. They're like, okay, Pastor, I don't like guns. I don't get it. I was going to move on, but I'm not. So I'm going to do something. In my life, I'm going to advocate for the guns they used back in 1776, okay? Right? Oh, God, right. So if you have one of those guns, God bless you. Hallelujah. All right, back to the sermon. Secular schools and secular education for the past 59 years start with this premise. God does not exist, or his existence is not relevant. The Bible is merely a work of humans, that God ought to be ignored in the educational process, and that religion and faith are a private issue and should not be a part of education. Secular education in America teaches that life does not have purpose, or that you cannot fully obtain the purpose of life. Everyone has their own opinion of what that is. There is no exact purpose. Instructors who do not know Christ and don't read the Bible, they teach a false view of the purpose of life. They themselves are always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. These educators are teaching the next generation, and even the current generation, these very ideas about life. All teachers communicate a value system to their students through their instruction, and perhaps more through their own lifestyles. Side note, I had a health teacher who every single day went back behind, health teacher, behind the building to go have a smoke. I'm not lying. That last week of school, we did nothing but talk about, hey, by the way, I saw you smoking. You just taught us, right? Check this out. You just taught us that smoking is bad for your lungs and can cause cancer, but you smoke. Now, that's funny, but what else are teachers teaching? All teachers communicate a value system to their students through their instruction and perhaps more through their own lifestyle. There's no such thing as a neutral teacher, and there's no such thing as a neutral school. Here's a fun fact. The phrase separation of church and state does not appear in our U.S. Constitution. Separation of church and state is not in our Constitution. What's our Constitution? The very foundation of the United States of America. Here's another fun fact. Separation of church and state and separation of church and school, specifically written out, did appear in the Constitution of the former Soviet Union. Here you go. Private Christian education is not a nicer, safer, smaller, or more academic version of public schools. A Christian school serves a completely different purpose than a secular school does, and its focus is different than a secular school. Christian schools start with this belief: God exists, that he has spoken through his word, the Bible, and he must not be ignored because he is the center of all life. Education in the Lord prepares a student not only for this life, but the life thereafter. The Bible teaches that humans were created as eternal beings, and they do have purpose. Now, these teachings that I just described in private Christian school and these values that are taught in private Christian school are very similar to the same things that were taught in public school before 1962. Now, today is not an advertisement for Christian schools. It's not an advertisement for homeschool. It isn't. Today's topic is pointing out a major fact that we all live with and have been for 59 years. What once was a staple for the West, our value system through education, our paideia, has shifted from the Word of God to the Word of man. What once was taught from schools and homes and churches, that we're to live for God and his values, that was what was taught in all three. We live for God and his values has now shifted that we live for our personal wealth and our personal pleasures. Right? Think about it. What is taught in education now or even taught online? Get your education, work hard so you can obtain all things that you want. That's the American dream. That is not the American dream. That's not the complete American dream. You can't obtain that in America because we are a free country with free trade, with free business. At least we are right now. See, the more we fill the eternal with the temporal, the emptier and more broken we will become as a society. The more we fill the eternal with the temporal, the more sinful and prideful we become as a society as well. Proverbs 1:7 says this: fear of the Lord is the foundation of true. Church, say true. True knowledge. But fools, man, you a fool. You're acting like a fool. I pity the fool. Okay. Despise wisdom and discipline. None of the kids got any of that, right? Mr. T, who's that guy, right? Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise the wisdom and discipline. They despise it. Now think about this. The very rearing of our children in public schools currently has an educational foundation that is completely built on something other than God. We want our kids to know about Jesus. We want them to love Jesus. We want them to study his word. But the ones that are educating our next generation the most teach our kids that social morals are defined by polls and opinions. Social morals are no longer defined by biblical principles or biblical standards. What is right in our country is determined by a poll of people who feel like they want to tell us what's right. During school hours, teachers are forming the minds, the souls, and the lives of our little ones. And most Christian parents and grandparents have little to no involvement in what kids are growing up to know and believe as truth. Now, I know I'm stepping on toes, and you all welcome. I have to stand before God one day and be accountable to what I preach from here. I do, you don't. So I got to tell you the truth, because God has something amazing for you and your family. I'm going to say that again. During school hours, teachers are forming the minds. Education is not just information, it's soul formation. During school hours, the teachers are forming the minds, souls, and lives of our little ones. And most Christian parents, and we've been good at this for years, haven't we? And grandparents have little to no involvement with the kids are growing up to know and believe as truth. We went from teaching religion of God to religion of secularism. Anybody want to know my opinion? No, I don't care. I'm going to tell you. In my opinion, this is my opinion, the secular progressive education system is the leading factor why currently we only have 6% of Americans with a biblical worldview. It's my opinion. Now, why would we expect anything different? Let me just simply start with evolution. Where and how everything began. Evolution is a theory that is clearly taught as truth on many levels. Did you know that evolution is even taught starting in preschool books? Let me ask you a question. How long ago did dinosaurs live? Raise your hand if you know. Just shout it out. How long ago, approximately? I shouldn't have done that. I can't hear anybody what they're saying. It's like, sounds like our family after we eat sugar. Okay, what, over here. How long ago did dinosaurs live? Okay, how long did dinosaurs live over here? 6 million, somebody said. Okay, cool. If anyone said millions, you believe in evolution. You believe in evolution. At least you do for that. How about this theory called creationism? Evolution is a theory taught even from our preschool. And how do I know that? Because there's preschool books talking about dinosaurs who lived millions of years ago. What about the theory of creationism? It's not even given a chance in public school systems anymore for students to decide on their own. Literally at the beginning of every book that ever talks about evolution, you'll say, it's a theory of evolution, it's a theory of Darwinism, it's a theory, but every single moment after that, it's taught as truth. Everything is centered around it. I believe there's somebody in here today that is called by God to do something in Cedar Rapids to help bring creationism as another theory in our public school systems. I believe it. You want some local stats?
Yeah, okay, yeah, Pastor, that'd be awesome.
Okay, I'll give them to you. Of 51 million K through 12 grade students. So this year we have 51 million K through 12 grade students in America going to public school systems. 51 million, 90% of those 51 million in America are going to public schools. Now 10% go to private schools, but only 78% of that 10% are religiously affiliated. That means 8% of students K through 12 in America are going to school that will actually mention the name of God. What does that mean? Here's the numbers. 51 million students this year in the fall will go back to school. 47 million of those 51 million will never hear about God, will never hear about creationism, will never probably be involved with prayer unless kids got together and made a little club and kept it secret. And they'll never be talked about God or anything that God has done. But 4 million, 8% of the 51 million will hear the name of God, will probably learn about creationism. That's a big difference. Cedar Rapids School District, and it wasn't always like that. If you don't believe it, research it. Cedar Rapids School District, AK through 12, has 16,294 students. They have 2,577 employees and 6,968 volunteers, almost 7,000 volunteers. And their annual general budget is $276 million in Cedar Rapids. That budget, the thousands of volunteers and thousands of employees are rearing and educating our neighborhood children on the exact opposite belief system that we fight for every day as Christians. This is not a hate session on public school systems. I was raised in the public school system. Personally was. This is not a hate session on public school systems. This is a wake up call to the church. Get involved. You complain over and over and over again, and you never get in the game. Nobody likes people like that. We complain and we complain and we complain and we want God to do something, but you don't do anything. You don't get involved. Wake up. If you want to see a change in our society and our nation, it's going to start with you.
That's right.
It always has and it always will.
Yes.
That's how it works. Greater is He that is in you than anything or anybody in the seen or unseen world that's in the world there. Greater is He that's in you. Man, I'm not educated. That don't matter. Well, I'm not real well-spoken. Well, congratulations, you just talked about yourself every single time and you never talked about what God wants to do through you. Where is your faith? Where is your faith in Jesus through you? You're going to do greater things. I never wanted to be a preacher. This was not my intent. But greater is He that's in me than who chooses me at this time to do that. God has a plan for all of us to get involved. All of us must get involved. So what happened to America? Education took God out, and so began our fall. Take God out and you no longer have His protection and His blessings. Because you no longer teach His truths or His wisdom. I'll set somebody free in your own life. I want God to bless me. You don't even follow God. How do you know what God wants to bless you with when you don't know what kind of blessings He gives? You don't even know His virtues, His values, and His interests. But you want God to bless you over here. You just sprinkle Him where you want Him. That's not how God works. He's not a genie. He's the creator of all, the sustainer of all. He is in charge. We are not. We are His children to be used by Him in whatever capacity He has, even unto death. May we worship and praise God and fight the good fight of faith. And that's not in a pew. It's in the people. Jesus did most of His ministry in the marketplace, not in the synagogue. That's how it is. That's how it always has been. And it will be till the end of time. Amen? I ain't mad at you. I'm fired up because I know God's got something greater for us. I believe that Cedar Rapids is going to come to Jesus. I believe that through us as a church body and as other church bodies who preach the full gospel of Jesus, I believe God is doing something in this time. It's getting darker, which means you can be brighter. Amen? If it's going to get darker, your light will shine even greater. Your sphere of influence will go greater. I shut all these lights down. Right, if I just dim the light and you're just a little match, you don't have much influence. But if I take these lights all the way down and you have a match, you light it up.
Come
right? So the darker it gets, the more greater your influence will be. God has a call and a plan for our lives. And if you don't think children are important, you don't have children at home. Maybe you don't even have children. Or maybe you don't have grandchildren at home. Whatever. That does not say, well, I can just disconnect. When do you retire? Tell me in the word of God when you retire from ministry. We are too American. And not enough Christian.
Yes.
Now I'm preaching. The secular world and secular education has abandoned transcendent truth and deemed truth to be relative. Truth now taught is relative to every individual and has become a teaching that morality is also relative as well. What you think is morally right, I don't think is morally right. What you think is morally wrong, I don't think what's morally wrong. What I don't think is morally wrong, you think is morally right. What you think is truth, I don't think is truth. This is why we now have a whole month of June in America honoring and celebrating what the Bible calls sin. This is why our tax dollars go to pay to murder babies in the womb, and we call it a choice. Because there's no truth. Everything is truth is relative. How about this? What I'm saying right now, many people call hate speech because it's from the Bible. Because morals and truth to this society is now relative. It's up to you to decide. Now I know I'm messing with some people. I remember being in Bible college and I was thinking this thing. I thought, and I was taught this, and maybe, Shelby, you can maybe, we both grew up in the same area, some of the same schools, but I remember this, and I didn't think about it till Bible college. First time I ever went to private school was Bible college. First time I ever really read the Bible was Bible college. Not a good idea. Talk about being baptized by just, I'm drowning. Figure it out, man. You chose to go to Bible college? Okay. But I remember this thought. On cue, I owe you a sucker. I remember this thought, and I didn't really realize it until later on. I really got into the Word of God, and I started realizing that. Remember, I said it, when you're in the secular, or you're watching the news all the time, or you're not reading your Word, and you're getting opinions from people and not from God and the Holy Spirit and God's people and God's wisdom, you start getting this revelation that is man-made. And I didn't realize it until I started getting in the Word in Bible college. And I grew up with this idea. It was basically a foundation I didn't even realize, that what is okay with me is okay with me, and I can do anything in this life. Anything I want, as long as it doesn't hurt you, is okay. That is not a biblical principle. Many of you in here right now, because the percentages say so, that you believe homosexuality is okay, it's for whoever, and do whatever. It's okay when you're 12 years old to decide if you want to be a man or a woman or a pansexual or whatever, transsexual, I mean anything, right? I'm not hating on it. What I'm saying is I'm preaching exactly where we're at right now. We don't have a foundation of truth. And what we've gone with in this mentality and the foundation of our education that has formed our soul formation is saying that anybody can do anything they want as long as it doesn't affect me, they're fine. Is that what Jesus died for? But we live our lives like that often. Because we don't realize the foundation that we've been built upon, especially in the secular realm. It wasn't until I was in Bible college where I realized, I'm not judging nobody. But for me to say, it's okay for you to love who you want and do what you want and move in your life however you want and make these choices, my job was to say, no, there's a better plan for your life. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he literally gives you a Bible. It is a plan. An exact blueprint, right? First off, it's a love letter to you, each and every person. It's a love letter written to you thousands of years ago, and it took a lot of people to put it together because it's that important. But not only that, it's a blueprint of how to live the best life. The best life. I think C.S. Lewis, and I'll totally butcher it, but basically C.S. Lewis said, Even if there is not an afterlife, even if there isn't Jesus, you would know way better than me. It's still a great way to live. It's still a great way. And if I'm wrong, well, at least I lived a great life. But if you're wrong, that's bad for you, right? Now, you can't tell anybody what to do, what not to do. Getting on a soapbox and preaching from the corner, it does not work. It never has worked, okay? Don't get on there and just start telling, turn or burn, right? Oh, I need Jesus. No, that turns people away. Love people, rub shoulders with them, get involved with their life, and tell them about Jesus. And here's how you start. What did Jesus do in your life? That's just where you start. You can start there before you tell them one Bible verse ever, right? But there are things in our minds, and we go off, and what we're taught we believe is truth. That's why in here right now, if I brought up a hot topic, I know there'd be big discussion, and a lot of you would lean really far on the liberal, and a lot of you really far on the conservative. How can that be? It's probably because somebody didn't read their Bible. There's got to be a middle spot here. What the word actually says is truth. If you have ideas and thoughts and morals in your life that are based on anything other than the word of God, you have based them on the secular, and God says he doesn't like the mix. He actually says, I don't even know where I'm at right. He actually says, if you're lukewarm, right? I love God here, but he has no place here, and I want this God here and not here. And God says this, that's the worst people in the world. He says it makes them sick, and he spits them out of his mouth. You either be hot or cold. He'd rather you completely deny Jesus and live completely for the devil. I mean, that's not his intention. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be saved. Jesus came that all shall be saved, not one shall perish. But you have to be one or the other. And here's the reason why. You say you're Christian on a Sunday, you go out and live your life, and you have these crazy liberal ideas, or you have these mindsets or these foundational things and all this stuff. I even had it in my own life, and God is still refining me even today, and he's going to keep doing that. But what you're doing is you're going out, and this is what happens with preachers behind this pulpit as well. They say that sin is okay because grace covers all things. But then Paul says, just because you have grace, do you keep on sinning? And he says, of course not, right? So here's the problem with people that don't stand on the word of God and on the word of God alone, is that you're preaching partly God and you're preaching partly man, and you confuse people when they come to Christ. And oftentimes, if they're not following Jesus, they're going to hell. The only way to be saved is to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then Jesus says, come and follow me. And if you're not following Jesus and you're following something else, I'm just going to say it. According to what I know about the Bible, that makes you not saved. How do I know that? See, that's the problem with what we're preaching from here, is you say a prayer, live your life. But never did Jesus and any of his followers or disciples do that. They're our example, what it means to live for Jesus. To the point where Peter, at one point, was said, I'm going to be killed for what I believe in. But I cannot hang on that cross like my Savior. And he hung upside down because he wasn't worthy to hang like Jesus was. Like, does anybody live like that anymore for Christ? That's where we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. So if you're afraid to get involved, let me tell you, you need to pray for faith, and you need to pray for boldness. Yes. The Holy Spirit will fill you completely, and he'll fill you so complete you'll be overflowing. You'll be saying things like I am right now out of your mouth that you never planned, never thought, but it's the Spirit of living God inside of you that just pours out. And then while you're saying stuff, you're getting set free. You're getting saved. You're like, oh, that's good. And God is going to do that. Why? Because you are a vessel. You're a vessel for God. This is just a shell. And one day it's going to go back to the ground. It's going to go back to clay. And then I'm going to be with my Savior forever. But until then, we better do something. Because there's a lot of people that are going to go back to clay and not go and be with Jesus. And a lot of times, Christians, we have the answer, but we do nothing. How good is it if you have the cure to cancer to keep it to yourself? You watch people all around you die of cancer, and you just hold it in your hands and say, "Ooh, I'm never going to get it." But at least I got it. Well, that's what we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ every single day. There are people dying all around us, and we hold it in our hands and we keep it together. But God has never intended that to be in anything or any situation, including American education. Because we live in a bankruptcy of biblical morals. Church, do you want to rebuild America? Five people. Y'all can just watch us. Hand us a tool, okay? Do something. Help out. When I get tired, bring me some Gatorade. You want to rebuild America? Rebuild the education system. You want to see a lasting change? Get involved in your kids' or grandkids' schools. Fight for truth, fight for education, fight for your children, fight for the future, fight like Jesus. We need a Christian paideia to replace the progressive paideia if we're going to save America from its total demise. How can this possibly happen, Pastor Harris? How can this possibly happen? It's so far out of reach. Well, you do it the same way the progressives did. One person at a time, one policy at a time, one vote at a time, one meeting at a time, one curriculum at a time. You chip, 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 chip away until you see a different view. Where do you start? This is for everyone, right? You got notes, put them out. I'm getting close to the end right here. Where do we start? Let's start at home. If you choose to keep your kids or grandkids in public education, or you choose to put your kids or grandkids into private education or homeschool, it doesn't matter. Whatever you choose or wherever they go, you must teach at home the current lies and falsehoods this world teaches of science, human bodies, love, values, morals, marriage, and evolution. Teach them the truth of the Bible and its values and virtues. At home, if you need help and you don't know where to start, reach out to the church. I just voluntold Pastor Mark he would be glad to get you some information. His face is so stoic right now. See you at 9 o'clock in your office, okay. No, but he is excellent at teaching. Part of the main reason why I hired him. But if you need help, we are willing to help in the office. We want to help you. How about this, at the local church? Where do I start at the local church? Start at the local church. Did you know every single one of you who is a member, you signed a thing saying that you would be directly involved in a ministry? But how many people that are members of this church are actually involved with the ministry? Two suckers. He goes, he's chewing on something. He's like, I got you, PH. What's up, my man? Boom. No, it's true. I like to make jokes when it gets tense. At the local church, you can partner with your children's ministry or your youth ministry in the local church. You don't have to be somebody who is down there teaching, preaching, or involved. You can give financially. You can give by prayers. Who lately has wrote Miss Katie and said, give me the name of all your students, first name only. Keep it confidential. Give me a name. I'm going to pray for them by name every day. You can study the Word, okay, parents, you can study the Word of God at home with your kids, especially when they take their material home from church services. A lot of these kids bring home like little things, or they had a lesson downstairs. But have you talked to them about it? You can volunteer for VBS. The lowest number I know of in almost 8 years that I've been here for volunteers for VBS was this year. I get COVID, I get it. I get it. Put a mask on, put some gloves on, do whatever you gotta do. Volunteer, get involved, why not? How about camps? Events, Get involved. Quit spectating and get in the game, church. Here's the most healthy way to raise a child in the Lord. Here it is. You ready? The most healthy way to raise a child in the Lord is this. Through family, through church, and through education. This is the most healthy way together, family, church, education. You want to raise the kid up in the Lord and they will not depart from it? You do those three, and I'm telling you, the percentage is increasingly amazing. If you leave one out, you have it at home, family, and church, but you don't have an education, you're going to have a little bit tougher. How about this one? If you only have church and you don't talk about it at home with your family, and they don't go to an education that teaches the God, you're going to have a really, really hard time. It's just true. It's truth. At the educational level, how about this? Where can we start? Church, be involved in school boards, school board meetings, and knowing your teachers on a deeper level and your administrators on a deeper level. Do you even know their name? Do you even pray for them? Well, I don't have any kids in school. But what is the local grade school that is right there in your neighborhood that you see the kids every day playing in your neighborhood? Do you know who works there? Do you know the kids? Do you know anything about them? Are you praying for them? Are you even praying for the school? School board meetings are typically held on the second Monday of each month. The school board that I'm on meets on the second Tuesday each month because we're rebels. Just joking. No, but something to do with that second week. How about this? Start by attending meetings. Attend open forums. Meet administrators. There's a community sessions and learning sessions that you can attend. Cedar Rapids, there's a community school district foundation that deals with funding, and they oftentimes have meetings, open meetings that you can attend, and you can even volunteer at. Lock arms with people with similar beliefs as you. Kurt Hancock, where you at? Right? Right now, Kurt Hancock is trying to get in schools with a team, a group of people, and trying to see what he can do to bring God back into public school systems. He's doing it right now. He's had a heart for it, right? Sherry Pfeiffer, my secretary, she is involved with her kids' schools, if they like it or not. Not only does she go to meetings, not only does she talk to people, but she's also in concessions at games. She will sell you a hot dog and bless it in the name of Jesus. It's like, ma'am, can you get your hand off my hot dog? In the name! I'm just playing. I don't know if that happens or not, but wear gloves if you do it. Hallelujah. But there's people like this that you can lock arms with. There are teachers, there is faculty, and there are administrators that love the Lord and love our children. They love them. And they're in a hostile place. See how you can help them professionally and personally. What challenges do they have? I mean, do you know a teacher that loves Jesus that's in the public school system? Ask them. They might say, you know what? We don't have enough pencils. We don't have enough paper. We don't have enough rulers. We don't have enough. And then you personally, from your checking account, go and buy it, give it to them, and say, we believe in what you're doing. Thank you for teaching our children. You don't have to be a parent. Just bless people where they're at, especially in this realm right now, because this is what's going to change everything. Cedar Rapids Community School District, to get information or ask questions, here's their phone number. You ready? Cedar Rapids Community School District, call them, blow them up, say, hey, I got to get involved. 319. Almost no one is writing anything. I want to remind you of another Bible verse. That if you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, that's called sin. Okay, moving on. 319. You just put your head down. You don't even have paper or pen. You're just like, I got to pretend now. 319. I'm going, 319. I got that, Pastor. Keep looking down, looking like you're writing it. 558-2000. 319-558-2000. 319-558-2000. If you live in the surrounding area and you don't go to Cedar Rapids schools, I didn't look that number up for you. I'm sorry. I live in Cedar Rapids, so do it yourself. Hallelujah. Okay. Now remember, education is about soul formation, not just information. And that formation builds a culture. If you know a child in the education system, first thing to do is this: pray. Then educate yourself quickly, then get involved immediately. Worship team, please come up. And Miss Sherry, will you please come up at this time? And you can just grab that mic. Church, will you stand? We're going to close in prayer. I've asked Sherry, who literally is involved right here in our public school systems, and she works for me, so I can kind of tell her what to do a lot of times, so this is great. I said this morning, Sherry, you ready to do it? She said, no, right? So when she comes home, don't look directly in her eyes to help her out, okay? Just look around her. Stretch here. Come on up, Miss Sherry, where you at? There, yeah, you can grab that. This is what I'm gonna ask her to close us in prayer, and I want to tell them what we're praying for, and then immediately after we can go into worship or whatever you feel is right. But I wanted to say this last thing. Thank you, first of all, holding on. I know it was a long one, but I think it was so important because literally I believe the reason why we don't believe what we believe anymore, and the reason why even in churches you can have what you would think would be a basic understanding of the Word of God, you can have discussions in your own church that you know 100% has nothing to do with, man down, has nothing to do with the Bible. We can have those discussions because, why? Because of what we've been taught, who we've hung around, and the educational system that we grew up in, okay? I grew up on the West Coast, and the West Coast for education is not the best coast. It's not. It's very, very liberal, at least for what I believe and what I stand for. But I'm thankful for what God has given me. So be thankful for what God has given you, but you better line that up to the Word of God. It says in God's Word that be like the Bereans. Who are the Bereans? These are really guys that really like to dig deep into what the Bible says. Search the Bible. Okay, this is going on. What does the Bible say about this? If you don't know, you ask Ross Koster. He'll tell you. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I love volunteering him. His email is, I'm just playing. Oh, actually, his phone number. That's even better. Oh, now everybody's writing it down. Okay. But this is what we're going to pray before we leave. We got to pray for 1, 2, 3, 4 things. And Miss Sherry's going to do that with all of us agreeing. We got to pray for our students. Kids are precious, precious. If you don't love children, you better check yourself, because God loves children. And we are supposed to pass down to the next generation the things that we believe, generation to generation to generation. If you don't love kids, I don't care if you have them or not, I don't know if you're even around them. If you don't love kids, you gotta pray about it. They're precious, and the devil wants to snatch their life. We're going to pray for our students, our faculty, our administrators, and our school boards. Let's pray now.
Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Father God, and Lord, we're coming up to a school year unlike any before, God. Unlike last year during the pandemic, unlike the year before in what seemed normal, Lord God, we're coming up to a year, Father, with a lot of anxiety, a lot of expectation, and a lot of unknowns, Lord God. And right now, Father, we lift up school boards across this nation, Lord God, both public and private institutions, Lord. These leaders are being faced with decisions that no one has ever made before, Father. And I pray, Lord, right now in this moment, wherever they're at, Lord God, whether they know it's you, whether they know it's the Holy Spirit or not, Father, I pray that you just give them wisdom, God. Give them insight into their students, insight into their community, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that they would just begin to feel things in their heart, Lord God. And they may not know why. They may not understand where it came from, Father, but I pray that they would have boldness, Lord God, to speak what they're feeling and what they're thinking, Lord Jesus. God, I lift up Thank you, Lord. I pray, God, that as we lift up administrators to you, God, this includes principals, vice principals, building liaisons, behavioral specialists, Lord God. God, there are so many positions in school systems that are just completely new positions that didn't exist 30, 40, 50 years ago, Lord God, specifically just to deal with behavior issues, God, to deal with social issues in these students, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you would just show them the way, Father. I pray for boldness in these liaisons, God, specifically these behavioral specialists and these social, emotional specialists in school, Lord God, as these students come back, Father, and they're being faced with everything that's pent up inside over the last year, Lord God, I pray that you would give them wisdom, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open the doors. These teachers and facilitators that are believers, God, it is so hard, Father. I've spoken with teacher after teacher after teacher that loves you, Lord God, and they want to show these children your love, Lord God, and they're put in a box, God. They're put in a box where it's hard to know how to act and what to say and what to speak, Lord God. And I pray that that box would just be opened in Jesus' name. I pray that they would begin to find a way, begin to see a way, Lord God, that they can speak to the heart of that child, God, and speak to the heart of other teachers and administrators in their building, Lord. God, I pray specifically for believers that are administrators, both in all schools, private school, public school, wherever, God, people that have influence, Lord Jesus, that love you, God, I pray that you would find favor on them, Lord Jesus. I pray that their voices would be heard, Lord God, and I pray, Father, that they would have boldness and courage to speak what it is you put on their hearts. Lord Jesus, most importantly, we bring the students to you, Father. 16,000 students just in our public school system, Lord. That doesn't include surrounding areas or the private schools, Father God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just make their hearts moldable, God. I pray, God, that they would have divine interaction with believers and teachers and volunteers that love you, Lord, that love you with their whole heart, God. And I pray that they would mirror your love for their love for these students, Lord God. I pray, Father, for all the churches in town that we can become connected with the schools in whatever way that we would reach in, we would step in, we would meet a need, Lord God, and we would just provide that open door. Lord Jesus, specifically, God, I pray for the superintendent of Cedar Rapids School District. God, right now I pray for healing in her body, Lord Jesus. I pray that her body would be healed from the inside out right now, Lord God, and that she would know that it's you, Father, that has brought that healing. Lord, I just pray for strength, and I pray for this upcoming school year, God, that we would be able to just work in the ways that you want us to